Blog Talk Radio.
How's it going, everybody? This is Alex, Brother Carson from the Minneapolis Mad Dads. This is Mad Dads Radio here on blogtalkradio.com. We got a good show for you guys going on today. We want to talk about gangs and gang life and gang activities, especially that's been plaguing in our streets. Right now we got online Mr. VJ Smith, president and founder of Minneapolis Mad Dads. How you doing, sir?
Hey, I'm doing great, man. It's good to be on Blog Talk Radio. There's a lot of stuff we're going to be talking about, and there's a lot of issues that we need to deal with, and we need to get the community involved and talking about what do we do. You know, gangs is a big problem, not only in Minnesota, but all over the country. Folks are having gang issues. We've got families that have been in gangs since they can remember, the history of their families. And we've got many people that have just lost so much because of gangs, because of violence, because of what drugs and gangs and guns and gangs and violence and gangs and all that. So we have a big problem with gangs, and I'm excited to hear Gil's going to be coming in and you guys are going to be talking about it, and I'll be adding my input. So I'm excited. Blog Talk Radio, check in, give them the numbers and everything that they can get in contact with us.
All right, and I'll give them the number pretty soon. Right now we got two callers on the line. Caller with the 2165 number. Who's this?
This is Gil.
How you doing, Mr. How you doing, sir?
Oh, well, I had to check in with you, Alice. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm on this bus out here in Brooklyn Center. You know, we've been talking to the kids out here in the bus terminal. You know, and I asked them about what their opinion was about the games.
All right, definitely. And we also got another caller here with the 4294 number. Caller, who's this?
Hey, this is Damon Ross. I'm calling, Alex, because I'm very interested about what you're doing and stuff like that. There's a lot of young people out here that need some stuff and need some insight and some help. And I'm glad that you're on the radio show giving that information out today. Thank you. And it's very a privilege to talk to one of the Mad Dads.
Definitely. I thank you guys for calling in to bring more information. Because, you know, guys, I wouldn't know too much about gang activity or anything. So it's good to know that we have people on our side that have experienced that life and, you know, will have more insight on it. So my first question for any of you guys, anybody who wants to answer it, is why do you think are you people are doing gangs these days?
Hey, Alex. Well, I think one of the main reasons that people join gangs now is because of their insecurity. You know, a lot of them, you know, join gangs and stuff because it's more of a, like a social event, a place to be, you know what I'm saying, when you get up out the house. Because we got to remember, the gang member, you know, comes from a dysfunctional family. An average gang member comes from a single parent home. An average gang member in Stuffistan is a trouble. The average gang member, you know what I'm saying, is a dropout. Do you know what I'm saying? So all these dysfunctional things in his life and stuff, you know what I'm saying, I mean, functional when he gets off into a game, because now he has a place where he can lay up, you know what I'm saying, and assimilate himself off into an environment with a lot of other dysfunctional people. Because we know by being Mad Dads and being taught by VJ Smith that we're being misinformed by misinformed people. So when someone who you look up to is giving you bad information, the only way that you can process that bad information is process it through making bad decisions.
Right. That's absolutely true. And Damian, I want to definitely hear your input on why else do our youth join gangs these days?
Well, a lot of youth are youth join gangs because, you know, hurting people hurt people. You know, and that's one thing that a lot of youth have been hurt. They've been let down. They've been discouraged. So they turn to the gangs because they see the gangs every day coming through the block, getting off the school, on the buses, and they see them and they see, a mask that they're portraying. You know, they see them with the jewelry on, the new shoes and stuff on and like that, but they don't know that the stuff they had to go through to get that type of stuff. You know, staying up all night, carrying a gun, running through alleys when the police coming. You know, and half of them people that's out there, that's out there in gangs and stuff like that, they're not happy.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. That's absolutely true. Because I don't see anyone, I don't think you can possibly be happy to be joining in a society or a group of individuals that all they do is wake up in the morning and engage in an activity that can possibly lead them into the graveyard or the jail cell.
But that's one of the important things that's why we encourage you to keep doing what you're doing, see, because the kids need something else. And see, and that's where that part come in. And see, they join the games because there's nothing else for them. And see, and like with the GRIP program, you have something for the kids. And I heard you having something coming up, a conference coming up on the 6th or something, or September?
Yeah, actually, we're going to have a GRIP Day on the 4th, actually.
Where is it going to be held and what time?
We're going to be on the south side of Minneapolis. We're going to be right there at Rich Green, not at the school, but we're going to be at the park. And we're going to have fun. It's going to start at 1 o'clock. All the kids are going to be involved, especially my GRIP individuals, my GRIP kids. We're going to meet up at the YMCA at 12, and we're going to catch a ride all the way there and have fun. It's going to be a nice event for people out there with kids and, you know, just come and have fun with those kids and, you know, engage in our activities. We're going to have rap contests, dance contests, singing contests. And this is the kind of stuff that I'm talking about. This stuff should happen almost every time because it doesn't allow a kid to think about joining teams because they're always going to have something to do. So I really like the idea of that.
And I heard that you have a GRIP meeting at the YMCA. What day is that?
And the GRIP meeting that we have coming up for the YMCA, our next one coming up right now, will be the 4th, actually. That day, we're going to meet up. It's going to be a part of our GRIP, but we're going to have that activity at the same time. Then we're going to have another one on the 11th.
Okay.
We're going to have another GRIP day on the 11th. And on the 11th, we're going to also have another program that we're going to also have the GRIP team involved in. So they're going to expand in this. They got a lot of things to do. And that's how we're going to keep it. We're going to make sure we keep it busy with the GRIP team.
Okay. So, Alex, I'm glad I caught you and stuff like that, but I'm going to go back to I'm on my way back to the hospital to do my checkup. So I'll be calling you soon, okay?
All right, now, Damien. You have a great day now.
All right, thank you.
All right, now, God bless. Now, Gil, for those who are listening on air right now, I see I have a few listeners on there, and some of them, okay, anyway. For those listeners who might come in and might even listen to it later and download it, I just want you to give them a little bit of background because I don't think people truly really understand the 360 you had in your life as far as games. So just if you want to give them a little bit of your testimony, so that'd be great.
All right. Well, you know, as you know, you being a member of the Minimap Mad Dash, you know somewhat of my history. And, you know, I was in the game for over 40 years. And I'm talking about an active member. When I first joined up the gang, I was from Chicago, Illinois, Chicago's west side. So when I first joined the gang, I joined the game for acceptance, you know what I'm saying, to be able to have someone that I could go to who I thought understood me. You know what I'm saying? I was, like all my friends was involved in gang activity and stuff, you know what I'm saying? Those guys that I thought were hip and those guys I thought was wise and those guys who I thought was sharp and stuff like that. So it was more of a camaraderie ship, you know what I'm saying, where I would live and I would get with them, you know what I'm saying, and we would just basically just hang together and stuff. That there and stuff, you know. So as my acceptance grew among the group and stuff, you know what I'm saying, the higher ups started looking and started seeing and stuff, you know what I'm saying, that I was dedicated to what I would do. I would show up and have different functions. I would be at the meetings every day and stuff like that. I'd be at the playground, you know what I'm saying, after school. So they started giving me other responsibilities, you know what I'm saying? They fed off into that part of me because, see, at the time, see, I was going through foster care because I was in a foster care system when I was 9 years old, you know?
Uh-huh.
So as I was going through the foster care system and stuff, I didn't feel I belonged, you know what I'm saying? I didn't feel I had a family, you know what I'm saying? I didn't have contact with my natural siblings and stuff. You know what I'm saying? My brothers and my sisters. You know what I'm saying? I was away from my mother and my father and stuff. You know what I'm saying? So I was looking for love in all the wrong places, man. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
They became my secondary fathers and stuff. You know what I'm saying? The gang leadership became those images and stuff. You know what I'm saying? I want to lay up here and inject into my own personality and stuff, so I can fit off into, so I can feel the sense of belongingness. You know what I'm saying? So you know, so I became a black gangster disciple, but at that time we were just called disciples, you know.
Yeah.
And I became a devil disciple, and you know, I did all kind of little crazy stuff. You saying mostly like fist fighting and stuff like that, because at that time, you know, I was like 11 years old, 12, so, you know, and that brought me into contact with the police and stuff like that. You know, running in and out of the youth detention centers and stuff, you know what I'm saying? So I gathered a reputation for, you know, going off in the youth center and stuff, and I was telling people, hey, I'm a disciple, you know? And so it built me a reputation. So when I got out and stuff, you know what I'm saying, they gave me more responsibilities and things that I thought were responsibilities, feeding off into my ego and stuff, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So
right.
I got off involved, and that next thing, you know, I started carrying guns. The next thing I know, I started shooting people. The next thing you know what I'm saying, I'm in the adult division, you know?
Right.
So
right.
It was just a progression off into criminality, you know? So after
right.
I laid up here and I got there and I went to the penitentiary and stuff, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, for killing people and stuff, and in the gang, you know?
Right. Right.
And,
Not to cut you off, Gil, but I just want to acknowledge the other callers that's online. I do see you guys online. The 0271 number, who is that? This is Blog Talk Radio, Mad Dash Radio. Caller with the 0271. Call on the line with the 0271.
He probably just got cut off.
That would be me. That would be me, sir. How you doing? Hey.
I'm doing great. I'm doing great.
How you doing?
I want Gil to talk a little bit about the personality traits that it takes to be a gang member, because there's got to be some things. Somebody told me, Gil, and I want to get your response. Somebody told me that you have to be greedy. You have to be really greedy to be a gang member. Is that true?
Well, it has to be. Basically, it is true. Because the greed in which they're talking about, you have to basically be greedy to be a gang member. Because you're right. I wouldn't use so much of the word greed. I would use the word selfish. You know? See, because when you become a gang member and stuff, you're saying, it all becomes about you. You know what I'm saying? Because you no longer care about your siblings. You no longer care about your mother, your father, your sisters, or your brothers, you know what I'm saying? And those around you that don't live here and have direct relationship to you and your gang affiliation. You know? So by you being that.
So the other thing is that if you're so busy being self-centered, I think self-centered is the word we want to use, right, Gil?
Self-centered is the best word to describe your attitude and part of being a gang.
And you don't care about
it's all about you.
And you don't care about who you hurt, physically, emotionally, mentally, or anything. Long as you get your dirty work done, long as you do your dirty work, that's important.
See, that's people don't understand the philosophy of being initiated into a gang. That's why they jump you into a gang. That's why they beat you. They let you around people who call themselves your friends, and they beat you into a gang. Or they make you do something that's so humanly degrading. You know what I'm saying? That you'll get to the point where you'll wake up and you'll say, hey, man, if they care about me, what about the people who don't care about me? You know what I'm saying? So that's how your sensitivity is depreciated, because they have you to do things and stuff that you get to saying that, hey, man, if they'll do this to me, you just think what the world will do to you. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's the psychological, you know, manipulation that they put onto your mind. So once you let them, you desensitize yourself to other people's suffrage, you know, it's easy to go out and hurt somebody.
Right.
So Gil, would you say this? I want to make one thing point, and I'll let you have it, Alec. Why is it that you have to put God or Allah into the belief into a gang when it's shallow and inconsistent with the real teachings of God or Allah? Why do we even add it into the teachings or the beliefs of a gang?
See, because again, that draws also into the manipulation of your mind. You know what I'm saying? They have to take control of your mind. So they have to take something that you're familiar with, something that's already been implanted and instilled in you through birth. Because your mother and our average person, their mother and their father can talk to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what I'm saying? If you come up in the Islamic family, they talk to you about the various principles and stuff about Islam. So these principles tell you to be submissive, to humble yourself unto your leader. You know what I'm saying? And until the various principles and stuff that govern you as a gang member. You know? So they'll take those same things and they'll reverse them on you. And they'll tell you, you know, this is for God and for for our mob.
Right. And yeah, I can't hardly hear you now because something's going on in the background. But
Hello. Hi, this is Alex from Mad Dash Radio. Are you calling with the 7968 number?
Yes, I am.
All right, and sir, what is your name?
My name is Brother Leroy.
All right, and how you doing, Brother Leroy?
I'm pretty good.
All right. So I want your input on gangs and why do you think the youth out there now are so quick to join in gangs and getting involved in gang activity?
Well, I truly feel that, like, what they do what they see, and a lot of them is lost inside of the this television world, you know, where they see all the fame, the cars, the money, and they hear the rap saying, oh, I want to kill this, I want to kill that, I need kilos of this and that, and wearing the necklaces, and then all of the women and all that other type of stuff. I think that's one of the big major things that's going on with that situation. They're lost inside of that dream right there. That is not how it really supposed to be.
And, you know, and I definitely agree with all you guys' answers because that's all the same. It's all in the same element of why somebody would want to think like a gang member or, you know, start doing the game. Because it's that background that they, it's that story that they want to have, like you mentioned. It's that money, cars, clothes, and women type of dream that's been instilled in most of our minds when we're very young. A lot of people don't like to believe that their favorite rapper or singer is purposely doing that. But the truth of the matter is this world is very wicked. And one of the many tricks that Satan has is through music. And so a lot of times if he want to get a message over, he will use the most iconic rap star, you know, or the most iconic singer out there. And then, you know, all of a sudden, you got, you know, 12-year-olds thinking like killers, you know, because they want to buy every 50 Cent album or whatever, you know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
And I got a good question for you, too. I want you to, Leroy, thanks a lot for your comments. I got a good question. I want to get, Leroy on hold and then put Gil back on because here's what I want to do. I want to do the generational music thing. See, when Gil was coming up, there was certain songs and certain music that influenced his gang and his people. And then the music now today, I want to talk a little bit about the music now today, Alex, that is influencing our kids. So, Gil, are you with us? Are you with us, Gil? You got him on?
Gil Baggy, you can go ahead and you can come back on air, sir.
Gil, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah, Gil. Okay, Gil.
Yes.
We're talking about the generational of music that has thrived us, and I wanted Alex to first hear from you and about certain music that motivated the gang members in your era and the music that is motivating gang members in today's era. Can you talk a little bit about what was there certain music that motivated gang members in your era?
Yeah, you know, like, but you know, I came up through the late 60s, 70s, and 80s. You know what I'm saying? As being musically conscious, as becoming musically conscious. And in our area and stuff, you know what I'm saying, music was meant more, you know what I'm saying, for us to romance the ladies, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, to talk to the girls and stuff like that with certain songs that when you wasn't comfortable saying what you could say, you know, to your young lady friend and stuff like that, you know what I'm saying? It was certain songs that you could play. But it was just one song in particular that when we was coming up, when I was coming up as a kid, that had made a profound impact on us as a gang, and that was a song of a thing called Stone Love. You remember that song, everybody? No.
Yeah, I remember that song.
You remember that song, Stone Love? And they had a gang
then
in Chicago called the Black Stone Rangers. And they used that song as their anthem, you know. And that was one of the records and stuff and saying that brought a lot of derogatory comments and made everybody, you know, all crazy and stuff when they heard it because they associated that song with the Black Stone Rangers. But today's songs and stuff and saying, you know, especially rap music. I remember 15 years ago when rap was first becoming this prominent, you know, when it was first taking over the airwaves, and the level of confrontation and the level of verbal expression of anger and hurt and frustration was being put out through the lyrics of music. And our elders were saying, hey, this is a dangerous thing. But at that time, you know, I didn't understand what they was talking about, and we all rebelled against it. But now we see the devastating effect that those words in those songs have brought about in our community. Because now our kids and stuff are saying, again, when we talk about this, you know, being desensitized on certain areas and stuff, that sensitivity and stuff that we had about our fellow friends and stuff and our families, we don't have that no more. Because now we have music telling us that it's all right for you to lay up here and be violent toward your fellow man.
Right.
And you know, and you're absolutely right about that, Gil. What we're gonna do is put you on hold because of your noise background, but I need you to stay on the line because we'll be coming back to you. Okay?
Okay. All right.
And Leroy, let's talk a little bit about, you know, you got members in your family that's even involved in gangs. And let's talk a little bit about what is the music and what are the things that, you know, as a family that's got issues, you know, we've been to many funerals that your family members were there and we're fighting against crime and then you still got people in your family that's still doing the same stuff. Let's talk a little bit about how music has an impact on that and as a family member, how hard it is to be a part of fighting against something that's in your family.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, we can hear you. Go ahead. Answer.
Okay, well, it's really serious because, like, the life I walk and I live today, I mean, you try to get to them and talk to them and show them that it's a different kind of way, but they so blind that they in the dark. They don't know. They constantly just continue doing the same cycle over and over and over and ending up in prison. And it was a song out that I really didn't understand it. I heard it and it was like the guy sitting here calling off two Larry Hoover and then he busts out One Nation Under God. I don't understand how you praising gang leaders and then you say One Nation Under God. I mean, I don't understand. That's what it is. Today music, they feel like they glorify it, and they think it's just so cool because these guys got money and stuff and girls and jewelry and stuff like that.
You know, and I totally understand and agree, because I've actually heard that song you're talking about. And that's the thing, because even the Bible predicted this was going to happen. You know, he said that the beast was going to speak blasphemy against the king. You know what I mean? And this is one of those things. You know what I mean? The beast is just not a particular thing. You know, it's going to be a combination of a lot of things. And one in particular is this blasphemy, you know, in the music. And now if you can have millions of kids around the world to chant, you know, certain songs with Hallelujah and Larry Hoover and all this stuff, and then, you know what I mean, they, if you can get kids to do that, you know, if you can get kids to call each other God and all this kind of stuff, and you know, to, you know, accept awards and say that you want to thank the Lord for your album, which was godless and violent and sexually perverted, you know what I mean, if you can get people to do that, you can get people to be numb towards who's the real king, towards who's, you know, towards who's God. So I think one of them things is, you know, just like what Gil mentioned earlier, is if they can get mind control over you, then they can definitely, they can get you to think anything. They can get you to think on their level. And this is another trick from the devil, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and Alex.
Yes, sir.
Like when you had said about that music, and that's you're definitely right on that. You know what I'm saying? But then again, we have to also look at the fact that kids are angry about a whole lot of different things that they don't have control in their lives. You know, because you know you got a lot of kids and stuff standing from the ages, because you know, like that music and stuff. You know, they target certain ages and stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so like when you're targeting a 12 or 13, 14 year old kid, they haven't really processed their natural environment with society yet. You know what I'm saying? Especially
right.
If you come from
right.
a dysfunctional family. So if you live and you throw out the different hurts and pains and frustration that the kids are already experiencing in their normal everyday existence, stuff, you know what I'm saying? They readily live there and comply to music that lays up in, and it's a springboard to their already this dysfunctional behavior. You know?
Right,
so,
right.
No, so the music industry must take responsibility. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, when back 15 years ago, when she was trying to come out saying about the Tupac Shakurs and the N.W.A.s and the other various rap music, I mean gangster music that was coming out during that time, I'm talking about the early years of rap, when it was very, very vicious, you know? And so when she was speaking up against those things and stuff and saying, we didn't understand the social ramifications and stuff and saying of that music. See, but now we're starting to feel the effects of that music, because all that hurt, all that pain that wasn't addressed amongst our children was being expressed in that music. And they started accepting that music as a viable lifestyle.
Right, right.
Can I also say something?
Yes,
this is Libra again. What else I want to say? It's about, like, the kids do what they see. Now, for generations, I mean, I've seen lately when I go to these funerals of these kids that's dying out of day, they mothers and they fathers was gangbangers. So I think they grow up as they shaking the kids' hands, they writing down the signs, and they dressing them up like thugs, and they grew up into that lifestyle, and then so they so lost to where they feel that it's normal. That's why I see the young ones, they really don't got no conscience. They really just truly don't care. It's just a normal thing to just take a gun out and shoot somebody, because they grew up with their parents living that lifestyle, and it just went down to the generation.
And you're right, Leroy. You know, and that's a very good comment, right, you just made. Because, like, you know, as they ride the peace bus, you know what I'm saying, 5 days a week. And we see, you know, young women that lay up here, you know what I'm saying, and they be teaching their children how to represent, how to lay up there and use that gang handshake, stuff like that. And they call them things cute. They're putting those tattoos on their little kids' hands, stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? And having them say them different gang slogans and things like that, because they think that stuff is cute. You know, it's a, and it runs off into the same type of philosophy and stuff. Saying we got this teenage pregnancy issue. What this one girl told us on the bus that the only reason she was having sex with this guy because she wanted to have a baby with him because he had long, beautiful hair. And I was like, wow, that's the only reason you want to have a kid by this man is because he has long, beautiful hair. She wants her kids to have long, beautiful hair. And, you know, and those are the same type of psychological dysfunction that's existed in our community that lays up in this and it perpetuates the gang environment of our youth, you know, because they actually start, like you say, they start seeing the gang life as being something that's honest.
Right. Yeah. That's what. That's exactly. You know. And I just can't help but notice that there's a lot of parents out here that I've actually witnessed with my own eyes. That be on these buses, and you know that, you know, just like you guys were just talking about, they don't grow up with the morals and values. This little girl, just like a couple of weeks ago, was on a bus, and was teaching her daughter, and yes, and it was her daughter. The girl herself had been nothing but 16 years old. Was teaching her baby how to curse and how to throw up a gang sign. And I was so, I got so enraged, I had to say something. Because, number one, this is a little girl. You know what I mean? You know that this is a little girl talking to another little girl. And I'm an adult. So, you know what? Authority has to be taken over. You know what I mean? And I had to say
Amen.
Something. I told her that, you know what, that's not cute. You know what I mean? That's ridiculous that you even set your child up for failure like that. Of course, she had an attitude. She had a problem. Bus driver actually was very much into what I was saying to her, and was so into it that when she got louder and louder, she was kicked off the bus. And the thing was, it wasn't so much that I want her off the bus, but somebody had to say something, because as long as somebody's going to keep, you know, ignoring this, we got a tendency to ignore things on the bus. You know what I mean?
Well, you know,
we got a tendency to just mind our own business, which is cool, but, you know.
Yeah. Another thing about what you're saying that, Alex, is that it's called social conscious, you know, and
yeah.
We have to be socially responsible. We have to start taking a more drastic approach, you know what I'm saying, to you know, to the social consciousness and stuff and saying that's being, you know, revealed out here on these streets, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, a lot of times, like Leroy was saying, kids are going to do what they see other people do, you know what I'm saying? So
right.
if you're raised up, in a household, you know, by a teenage mom, you know what I'm saying, a single parent, and the only thing that she has in her life and stuff is saying is another guy, and this man here, you know what I'm saying, is father figure in the home, and he's a gang member, you know what I'm saying?
I can't see.
Then you know, that's what kids are gonna do.
Right. Right.
You know?
That's dope. Definitely. I'm sitting here and I have a book about gangs and gangs activity, and it's called A Handbook on Youth Violence and Gangs, which was written by Mr. Bert Larson and Wendell Amstutz. And there's a chapter on here called Gangs and Satanism. A lot of times gangs are based on very evil foundations, and if the youth can know that, I know for a fact that because of that good principle that, you know, some gang members' parents might have taught them in the beginning will definitely override it. This chapter here has pictures of different gang symbols and where it derived from, and most of them being satanic. A lot of times if you ask a gang member, you know, what are you doing, the things that you are doing is satanic, they will fight you like, no, I don't deal with that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? But then when they don't think about that violence and stuff like that, it is satanic, you know what I mean? But once you show them what truly you have, what you've been doing, you know, for all these years, what symbols you've been wearing, what you got tattooed on your body is evil, and you can prove them like this here book right here, it would really open up some eyes. I think we should really start opening up these kids' eyes when it comes to that, especially when it comes to another young person, you know. You know, I got symbols here like the upside-down cross that I've seen a few times. You know what I mean? The yin-yang symbol, the devil's fork. The people will throw up the devil's fork. You know what I mean? And when they shake up and all those things like that, you know, the kids don't know what they're doing. You know what I mean? So it really takes somebody with that they can trust with some knowledge and some wisdom to open up some eyes. I guarantee, you know, this whole gang activity and stuff like that will definitely be gone. I got BJ Smith back on the line, sir. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. We still got Gil on?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. One of the things I want to talk about that changed, and I wanted Gil to talk about a little bit, is that when Gil was coming up in the gang, it was a big deal about colors and rapping and repping your, you know, making sure you did all the signs and making sure that you dressed a particular way and making sure that you stayed in this particular neighborhood. But a lot of that has changed, Gil, and I wanted to talk to you about the dynamics of what you're seeing now and how gangs are representing themselves.
Well, the difference, BJ, and that's very important what you just said, you know, is that how the gangs are seeing themselves, you know, and the way the gangs are starting to see themselves now is that the gangs are looking into more individualized recognition as to who the leader is, you know, mm-hmm. And you know what I mean by that is that, see, the leaders today, they're looking for their own selfish identity. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, if any kids out there listening to us, you know what I'm saying? I want you to hear this, is that when you're talking about a gang leader, what you're talking about is a pimp. You're talking about someone who's going to lay up there and utilize your vitality, your strength, your intellect for his own personal gain. Because it's never about the individual inside of the game. It's all about the collectiveness. That's what it has portrayed. But when you break that collectiveness down and you see that all the rules and regulations only work for those who are profiting in the game. See, because it's not no longer about friendship. It's not no longer about camaraderie. It's no longer about the love that people had of being connected inside of a group like the Boy Scouts and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? Now it's all about how much money are we going to make up out of you. If you're a gang member, all you are is representative is a paycheck or a means of reaping money from your labor.
Right.
You know? That's what it's about. That's the difference of being in the gang today, you know? Because, like, when you're talking about those colors and stuff that we started off early on and stuff, that was just to you know, to lay up here and set ourselves apart from each other, you know? Because I came from Chicago, and Chicago is a very, very racially divided city. You know what I'm saying? It's a racially divided by neighborhoods. You know what I'm saying? Like, since I came up to Minnesota, I started seeing and stuff and saying that they have blacks and whites and Chicanos and Hmongs and all these other people and stuff and saying Native Americans all living in one community. In Chicago, it's not like that. It's racially segregated. Blacks living in one area, Hispanics living in one area, whites living in one area and stuff. You know what I'm saying? So the way that people later then start dividing themselves is they start wearing different colors. Stones was wearing black and red. Disciples was wearing black and blue. Vice Lord was wearing black and gold. You know what I'm saying? These was the same in order to let them distinguish what neighborhoods we came from. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. So, and, today, I'm sorry, go ahead.
And today, with, you know what I'm saying, with the complete diversification and stuff, you know what I'm saying, of fashions and stuff, you know what I'm saying? And like, when I was coming up, pink was the color a man would never wear. You know what I'm saying? That, but today, well, under today's acceptance and stuff, you know what I'm saying, of fashion cultures and stuff, you know what I'm saying, every gang wears that. So the so the association and stuff you're saying with colors to areas is no longer effective anymore. You understand what I'm trying to say, Alex?
Exactly. And I just want to get to this another.
I'm having trouble hearing you, Alex.
I'm sorry. There's a lot of background noise. You have you. I have another call on the line from 504. Caller, this is Mad Dad's Radio. Who's this?
Yeah. What's up? This is Lily.
How you doing, Lillian?
I'm doing all right. I was calling because I actually just moved to Minneapolis a year ago. I'm from New Orleans. And I just tuned in a couple of minutes ago, so I don't know what was said at the beginning of the broadcast, but I'm actually in a gang, and I have been in a gang for about 3 years now. And once you get in it, you cannot get out of it. And, you know, and it's like that's just how it is, you know, and, you know, you can lose your life behind it. You know, I have tried several times to try to, you know, I'm still young. I'm 21 years old, you know what I'm saying? But with the gang life comes, you know, the money and the drugs and the stuff like that. But, and, you know, I've tried to get out of this one particular gang and, you know, it just doesn't happen. I mean, it's that serious. Is that serious?
It sounds like to me that you really want to leave this game.
Well, I want to, but it's like it's impossible. I mean, it's like finding your life away. It's literally like finding your life away.
Exactly.
Lillian, can I ask you a question?
Hey, ask me a question.
All right. Hey, if you leave the game, what would you think would be the worst single outcome?
Losing my life.
If you decided today that you want to take your life back and to re-empower yourself, and you stepped away from the game right now, what would be the worst result? I mean, would you think you would lose your friends?
Well, it's not so much losing my friends. It's more so like it becomes like a family, like, okay?
So you lose your identity?
I would lose my identity. I would lose who I feel like I was. But at the same time, you know, I've been, you know, there's things that go on in amongst us that I don't really approve of, but I don't have no control over that because I'm just one word. I'm one voice in the group. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm just one voice.
If you take your voice out of the group, do you think they would still have a voice?
Well, of course they'll still have a voice.
All right. See, but what I'm saying is you will gain your voice, right?
Yeah.
You wouldn't just be making no more noise no more. You know what I'm saying? Because you've been empowered yourself. You'd have to lay up here and take a leap of faith. Do you believe in God?
I do.
Okay. Now, though, this is, you know, I'm not going to turn this into no preaching or nothing like that there and stuff, Sam. But like I said, did you hear us when we first started talking in the program?
No, I just tuned in like about 10, 15 minutes ago. I didn't hear the beginning of the broadcast.
Okay. I made a statement that I have been in the game, active in the game, for 40 years.
Oh,
right?
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And, but when I decided to step off away from them and to do and empower my life, to take my life back, you know what I'm saying, to make myself significant by myself, the first thing I did was I leaned not to my own understanding because it was a lot of fear involved in that. Because I don't know the type of gang that you was in and stuff, you know what I'm saying, but the gang that I was in and stuff, it was a lot of murderous type people, you know what I'm saying, people that got off on hurting people and stuff like that. And, you know, and it put a lot of fear in me because I felt that if I left, that they would have hurt me and they would attack me and stuff. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
I let that fear
stopped me from doing what I wanted to do for years because I wasn't comfortable no more. You know what I'm saying? I didn't want to be a part of this thing no more. So, but I let that fear of what I thought man would do to me, you know what I'm saying, hinder me from doing what I wanted to do for myself. So when I finally got enough nerve, I asked God, I said, God, you know, today I'm through with living like that. I'm not going to live like that no more. And I stepped away. And you know what happened?
What happened?
The God took control of my steps. You know what I'm saying? He started opening doors in my life that my old gang members, they wasn't willing to come through those doors behind me. You know what I'm saying? He started putting me in places around people that that old me wasn't comfortable. They didn't want to follow. So within time, as I laid up in my cleave toward my religious background, you know what I'm saying? And as my maturity gained in my spirituality with Christ and my walk with Christ, Christ started doing things and stuff, you know what I'm saying, that my old self couldn't lay up here and be comfortable with. So you know what my old self did? It died. It didn't follow me no more. So what I'm trying to say is this to you, is that when you reach to the point that you decide that you want to make a change, you got to have the courage of your own convictions to stand up and step out. And when you step out, you're going to see ain't nobody going to follow you.
That's absolutely, and you know, and I can't help but to take that as all seriousness. You say your name was Lillian?
Lily, L-I-L-L-Y.
Oh, Lily.
Yeah, like Lily on the Valley.
That's who they call me on the streets. So, you know, and that's the thing, you know, what everything that Gil said, his name is Gil, you know, this is a man that spent 20 years in the penitentiary behind, you know, gangster disciples and things like that. You know, it changed his whole life around. The thing is, the reality is, most gang leaders don't want this to keep continuing on. A lot of times it's just the upcoming generation that keeps these gangs breathing. May I ask you what gang you belong to? Or what gang that you're in, rather?
Now that I would like to remain confidential.
Okay, I respect that. And, you know, everything that he said, you know, just saying, look, I take back my life, is, I mean, I can't help but say, look, that has to be the truth. That's the only way it's going to happen. You mentioned earlier that you're afraid that they might come and take your life or, you know, hurt you and things like that.
Well, they technically, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead. You can go ahead.
Well, no, the one of the reasons how I got involved in the gang, I've been in two separate gangs. When I was in New Orleans, when I was in a gang, and when I moved to Minnesota, I became part of a gang. Now, I had to leave New Orleans to get from the gang that I was in before, and, you know, to this day, I'm still in fear for my life. You know, I have to sleep in my condominium with a couch barricading my front door. I have to sleep with a pistol underneath my pillow. That's how I have to live my life because that's how serious it is, you know. And when it first all started happening, it was like the gang, you know, the people that, you know, it's like they gave me life at first. I felt like, you know, they gave me life because, you know, they took me off the streets and, you know, they took care of me and, you know, we all had money and we had, you know, we were selling drugs and da-da-da-da-da. And, you know, it's so after a while, you know, all that started to, like, go downhill. Like, you know, when they had people killing and, you know, I don't want to get into details, but, I mean, at first, when it first started, I felt like, you know, they gave me life. But now it's like I'm having to, like, you know, protect my life, you know.
Right.
And, you know, can I come in on here, Alex? I want to thank you for calling in. I appreciate having the sister call in because what we found out is that I think now that they're making up about 15% of the membership of gangs now, females are. It was a lot less back in the day, but because we were kind of taught to protect our women, because the women are the ones that bring and bear our children. And so women were mostly in, back in the day, were protected from actually being active with carrying pistols and doing robberies. And we protected the women. We didn't want them involved in any of that. But now our guys are so ruthless now. They don't care whether the women are involved. They don't care if the woman gets shot. They don't care if she gets stabbed or killed. They don't care. Even when she gets pregnant, they still want her to put in work. And one of the things that happens, too, is that we get our women addicted to these drugs, addicted to the violence, and addicted to that. And so then when they have kids, those kids, a lot of these young gang members out here, these young ruthless killers, 15, 14, and 13 years old, are kids from the females and males of gang members. And they're only doing what they see mom and daddy do. So as the sister is telling us that she would like to get out, but then do you have kids, ma'am?
I have two, but they're back in New Orleans with my mother. And actually, like all actuality, my mother and my two children are in protective custody because of the gang that I was in.
Right. See, that's the problem there. Those kids can't really have the kind of relationship that they want to have with their mother. And this is for young girls. They're thinking they idolize these guys, their pants hanging down. Oh, I had a girl tell me in jail just a few weeks ago how sexy men were when she can see their underwear, when their pants are down to their knees and they walking down the street. She said, that's so sexy. It turns me on. And I thought, why would that turn you on? To see something that is disrespectful to the community, but to them it's a beautiful thing. But also it's the kind of things that attract and deter our girls away from really what they should be focusing on, their education, building a family, being dedicated to their future and all those things. Because here's a lady talking to us right now that is sharing with us what gangs have done for her life. She's barricading her door. She's living in fear. Am I right, man, when I say you live in fear?
Every day. I have to take, I see a psychiatrist. I'm on medication because I have panic attacks. So, definitely.
And so all that stuff is happening because of a decision that she made to, it's kind of like you have a drink and they say, man, don't you feel better? She said, I feel a lot better. But then after a while, you become an alcoholic and then your nerves don't work anymore and you can't remember much anymore. Your liver gets shot and you die. That's kind of like gangs. Gang is a slow death and sometimes a fast death. They say in what they've been saying about gangs is that most gang members don't make it between 3 and 8 years of becoming a gang member because they either die, go to prison, or get physically impaired in some fashion. Now, you don't sound like a young lady. You sound like you've made it a while. Why was it that you made it when so many others never made it from 3 to 8 years of being initiated in a gang? They didn't make it. I know you know a lot of them that didn't make it, that were in the gang with you. How did you make it so long?
Well, actually, the father of my two children, he was like the gang leader, and that's how when I met him, I didn't know nothing about the gang until I met him, and, you know, after I had this relationship with him, that's when I got introduced to it, and, you know, I was like having sex with this person, you know. And so that's how it all started. So, of course, because, you know, I was his old lady or whatever, you know, I never really was, like, in harm's way until, you know, when I decided to move out of New Orleans, you know, when I wanted to, you know, when I wanted to leave him and his, you know, his people, so to say, you know.
Absolutely.
That's when it really got really bad. So it wasn't like that in the beginning, but towards the end, yeah, that's how it ended.
Now, speak a little bit, but I know it's going to be, we just got a little more time left on my show, but I want you to speak about that initiation stuff, because, see, you were with a leader, so you didn't have to do a lot of stuff that other girls had to do to get in a gang.
No, I didn't. I mean, I had to do some stuff, but, I mean, I wasn't like them. But I've seen more guys get killed than I've seen more guys get murdered, you know, due to the gang than the women, though.
And then while you were active in the gang, and you being with a leader, you didn't have to do a lot of stuff. What was some of the stuff that the lower level girls had to do? Because I want to help some girls out here when they talk about making decisions. They want to be in a gang instead of going to college. What was some of the stuff you've seen those lower level girls had to do to be initiated into the gang?
I've seen girls that had to have sex with like 6 to 10 guys. I've had girls that were asked to kill, to rob, to, you know, break in houses and break in stores. And, you know, some of the gang members actually were like, they worship the devil and stuff like that. But as for me, I never got into that. But there were some of them that was like, you know, hardcore believers in that. And so, you know, sometimes, you know, they had people getting killed and they were being sacrificed. And, yeah, it was crazy. But, you know, that's just to name some of the stuff that I witnessed.
And just real quick, if you could talk to young girls and give them an opportunity to hear from you about why not to be in a gang before we leave our show, what would you say?
Oh, my God. Well, I would say now that I'm older and now that I'm wiser and I'm not so naive, because I know some of the young girls are, I would just say that it's a very dangerous lifestyle, and it might seem like it's cool and it's okay and you might benefit from it in the beginning, but after time, you know, when time takes its toll, you know, you end up like me, you know, a nervous, you know, basket case, you know.
Mhm. And we have 3 minutes left, so
let's give Gil some closing remarks. Young lady, we thank you for calling in. Gil, I'd like you to give some closing remarks to Alex, and then I'll say a couple words, and let's do it like that, Alex.
Okay, yep.
All right, Alex, you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
All right. My closing remark is that, you know, just like Dracula has to be invited into your home, you know, gang affiliation has to be something that you yourself accept, because that's the only way they can use you, when you turn your will over to them. I'm saying that today, as all this individuality and stuff is saying, that these kids proclaim that they're, can't nobody tell them this. This is one thing that you got to make up in your mind, that can't nobody tell you nothing about no gang when they talking about joining the gang. But they try to come up to you and approach you to start talking that stuff to you, you take your power back and you tell them, you say, no, that's something that's not for me. I'm an individual. I'm my own man. And that's my comment.
Right, exactly. And that's, you know, and I just want to say that young lady that we just talked to, Lily, you know, I'm sitting here and I'm listening to her speak, and she's scared. She's terrified, but she sounds very, very intelligent.
Yes,
you know,
is.
Just speaking to her, you cannot even tell. But, you know, I just want to say this, Lily, if you're still listening. I see your number not on here, but I can tell that you can probably still be listening. Know that it's not too late. Know that it's not too late. It took Gil years to wake up, but you already have woken up. Now all you have to do is break them chains, and it's not too late to turn it over and to really do what God put you on this earth to do. I definitely would love to. That's our cue. I definitely would love to keep in contact. If you can go to our website, Lily, which is MinneapolisMadDads.org, get in contact with us. So just to kind of, so you can be involved with us in the future. But Lily, just gotta say that you make sure that you keep your head up, and definitely we will pray for you. BJ, if you want to start praying now, that'd be great.
Okay, I sure will. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to connect with Blog Talk Radio. But we also pray for each and every young person, Lord, that we can deter, that the work that my sister Lily can do, the work that Gil Baggin can do, the work that all the Mad Dads can do to help turn a life around, to refocus a life, to give it energy, to make sure that we are the ones, to make sure, Lord, that we are the ones that really people get in contact with and start to believe in. The gang stuff is not for the future of our kids. Too many of them are being buried, and we don't even have funds or money. We can't even afford to bury them. So, Lord, we want them to live so they can bury us. Let's switch it around. We don't need to bury you. We want you to bury us. And only way we can do that is if they get an education and live a positive and productive life. And so we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Tune in next week, Tuesday, 1 o'clock, Madness Radio. Brother Carson, BJ Smith, Gil Baggett. God bless.
God bless.